calling out someone's name before the Lord in prayer. I trust that you have been giving thought to our upcoming outreach and that you are already praying that God would lay names of folks or communities on your heart that we are going to reach for the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that with great anticipation. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter number 19. When we closed our study last week, we closed the study about the marriage supper and the marriage itself. There's the marriage of the bride and the bridegroom, and then there's the marriage supper. That's two separate events. One of them is found in verse 7, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It says, "For the marriage of the Lamb is come." And then in verse 9, it says, "The marriage supper of the Lamb." And so that's kind of like the reception is what we would call it. You know, here on earth and in the Western culture, we have a marriage ceremony, a wedding ceremony. And then there is a reception to follow where there's the guests will gather and there'll be celebration. And then the bride and the groom will go away to a time of what we call a honeymoon, a gathering away. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. It's exactly what's going to happen. After there's a wedding in heaven, the bride, which is the body of Christ, we who are saved, and the bridegroom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, after that wedding, there's going to be a marriage supper, the Bible says in verse 9, and then there's going to be a time of 1,000 years. The kingdom age is what it's called. It's called the millennial reign. It's a 1,000-year reign, and we'll talk about that in chapter 20. I want to pick up our reading. We kind of left off in verse number 10, where John, after he saw these things in verses 1 through verse number 9 and heard these things, he fell down to worship the messenger. And he told him, you know, don't do that. He said, you know, get up. He said, I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. He said, you worship God. And brethren, that would be my advice to you. Don't worship a man. Don't worship a fellow servant. And so I'd never do that. Well, there's people that are doing it who probably said they would never do it. And some people that are doing it, they don't even realize they're doing it. God is opposed to worship of anything or anyone other than himself. And so you be careful. Cults are started that way. You know, when you get your eyes off of God and you get your eyes on a man. I'm for respecting men. There's a difference between respect and honor and worship. A big difference, right? And so learn the difference and then apply accordingly. And then he said this in the last part of verse number 10. He said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? And basically what he's saying is, listen, it all points back to Jesus. It's about Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Old Testament prophecy. It doesn't matter if it's New Testament prophecy. It doesn't matter if it's prophecy about the past or present or prophecy that deals with the future. It all comes back to Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you this too. That's something that I as a pastor, that we as a staff, that we as a church, we want to stay focused on Jesus Christ. The songs that we sing, we want them to magnify the Lord. We want them to be about Jesus. Amen. I'm not opposed to songs that talk about people's experience. I'm not opposed to that. But I don't want a whole lot of that. I want songs that magnify Jesus. Amen. I want songs that talk more about what Jesus has done than what I've received. And I think you do too. And we just have to get, you know, just make sure that our music, that our teaching, that our preaching, that everything we do is centered around Jesus Christ. Not a family, not a building, not a particular ministry, not a particular person. It's all about Jesus. If we'll keep that focus, God will keep his hand of blessing upon the church. I believe God blesses churches that make much of Jesus. Don't you? I do. And I believe this too. You show me a church that's making much of Jesus, and I'll show you a church where the Holy Spirit of God is active. Because the Spirit of God, His ministry is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. That is His primary ministry, is to exalt the Son of God, Jesus Christ. On the other side of that, show me a church that is making much of anything and everything but Jesus, and I'll show you a church that's about to die if they're not already dead, and where the Spirit of God has nothing to do with it. Because when the Spirit of God is at work, Jesus is going to be magnified. Amen, church? We need to keep that in mind. We need to keep this in mind. More and more are turning to entertainment and shows and events. I want little to nothing to do with that. I want it to be about Jesus. Make it about Jesus. And when Jesus is made much of, well, God will make much of those who make much of His Son. I've seen it, and I know it to be so because the Word says so. Now, in verse 11, there's kind of a change. These are some things that took place in heaven, okay, verses 1 through 10. He said in verse number 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. All right? Now, in verse number 11, we're going to get into some things about Jesus. And I have three things that I want you to notice about Jesus. It's about His coming. Now, Jesus is coming back. All right? Jesus is coming back. And it's amazing to me that when you talk to people, they get all excited about Christmas. Listen, it's probably my favorite time of the year. I just love Christmas. I just love the time around Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's just special. There's something about this time of the year. I love the fall of the year. Say, well, I'm a summertime guy. Well, that's okay with me. You can be what you want to be, and we can still be friends. I love fall. I love a cool night. And I just love the color of fall. There's something in the air. You can't explain it, but it's just something. You can just tell that it's upon us. And then the season in itself, the autumn season, the fall season, and the things that it brings about, the harvest time, the Thanksgiving, where when our hearts are turned toward that, we ought to be thankful every day. But I think you know what I'm saying. It's just a time when people begin to come together and they begin to celebrate these wonderful things. Thanksgiving, and then, of course, Christmas. Now, listen, most people, though they will not make much of Jesus at Christmas time, will tell you, I believe that Christmas is about Jesus coming. And they will tell you Jesus came. But those same people will not. They will not want to talk about Him coming back. Some will even deny the fact that He's coming back. But, brethren, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming back. He came the first time, and He's coming back. And He's not coming back the way He came. Amen. Now, what I mean by that is in His ministry. Now, in the way that He's coming back, He's going to come back exactly the way He went. Acts 1:11 says, this same Jesus now. Are you listening? In like manner that you've seen Him go up into heaven, He's coming back. Physically, bodily, He's actually coming back. Visibly, they've seen Him go up. Visibly, as we shall see here in just a moment, there's folks going to see Him come back. And so Jesus is coming back. And we need to be aware of this. And so what is this saying here? Well, let's look at it. There's a few things that you need to understand that's taking place here. The first thing that's taking place is God is getting ready to end this time of celebration at the marriage supper. There's been the judgment seat of Christ. This is taking place in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper. And it's coming to a close. And when it comes to a close, we who are in heaven are going to come back with Jesus. We're going to see this here in just a moment. Now, what that's going to do, it's not going to only end the activities that have been taking place in heaven, but it's going to bring to a close the present activities that have been going on earth. Now, in heaven, I just don't believe there's time in heaven. God gives time so that we can kind of calculate and understand what God is doing and how God is working. God is outside of time. But in order to understand, while we're in heaven, there's going to be 7 years of earth time on earth that takes place. 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of great tribulation. And that's getting ready to come to a close. Now, at the close of the great tribulation period, there's going to be these kingdoms and these nations and these kings and these leaders, and they're going to gather their armies to do war against God. Now, listen. And in my mind, I just cannot fathom how someone could think they're going to defeat God. I just cannot fathom that. But now I have to remember, as I witness to people, people believe all kinds of things. There are actually some Christians, I hope there would be none here tonight, but I don't know. Listen, the devil's deceptive. He's deceptive. And he'll have people believing, I'm hiding this from God. You're hiding nothing from God. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom we have to do. God, the all-seeing eye of God, sees everything. And yet there are people who think they're hiding it from God. There are people who think that they're going to win in the end, that they're going to defeat God. And so these kings of the earth are going to gather their armies, and the scripture, we looked at this, are going to cross over the Euphrates, and listen, they're going to be gathered in the valley of Jezreel. And we call this the Battle of Armageddon. Okay? It's going to be right there in the plains of Jezreel, in the valley of Megiddo. And this is real. This is really going to take place. And they're going to be gathered there to pounce on Israel. Now, I just want to tell you, and I think most of you realize this, you don't mess with God's people. All right, now, it's a dangerous thing to mess with God's people. It is, nationally and positionally. God's people, nationally speaking, is Israel. God has chosen Israel. God birthed them through the loins of Abraham. He called out Abraham. He birthed them. You do not mess with God's people. And you do not mess with God's people positionally either. People that have come against the church, and I'm not going to take the time, I've done it from this pulpit on more than one occasion, you've heard others do it, they're in the grave and they didn't win, okay? You don't fight God and win. Say amen. It doesn't happen. And so I would advise you, don't get in that fight. Now, what happens here is that we're getting ready to bring to a close the tribulation period, and we're getting ready to go into a new era, which is the kingdom age, where the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon, the devil himself, are going to be cast into the bottomless pit. We may get to that tonight, we may not, but let's see how this all transpires. What's going to happen? So we're in heaven. We're celebrating. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be a trumpet sound. I don't know if there's going to be a call of reveille. It's time, you know, it's time to mount up and saddle up. We're going. But I do know this, I believe every word of the Bible, and I know what the Bible says, and I want to read it to you. I want you to follow along. Look at verse 11. John said, I saw heaven opened. All right? Now, this is not the first time John saw heaven open. Heaven has been open for a number of reasons throughout the book of the Revelation, primarily to let us in. Heaven was open. John said, Revelation chapter 4, he said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, right? Why? Because the church went up. Now, the church has been in heaven all this time while all these things have been going on earth and has been running parallel. Now, the door is open, and the scripture says, John said, I saw heaven open. He said, behold, a white horse. A white horse. And he said, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. God said, listen, John said, this individual, it's not hard to figure out who this is, especially as we continue to read. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming back. This is what's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the true revelation. The rapture is when Jesus came for the church. The revelation is when Jesus comes with the church. The rapture is done in secret as a thief in the night, as we shall see in just a moment. But the revelation is for every eye to see. And listen, those that crucified him are going to wail because of him. That's what Revelation 1:7 says. And so he said, I saw heaven open. And he said, there was a white horse. Victory. Conquest. Right? Conquest. Victory. And he said, mastery. He said, there's something about this. He just knew immediately there's something masterful about this. And then he said, he that sat upon the horse was called faithful and true. Thank God Jesus is both. He said, God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's true. And he said, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And I believe this is John's way of saying, you know, now it's... God has given me an understanding of why these things must be. God has given me understanding as to why he must judge the world, judge sin, and judge the enemies of God. And he said, I know it's in righteousness. He's doing right. God always does right. You see, I don't understand all that God does. I don't. I do not understand all that God does. I just know that God always does right. There have been times I have scratched my head, I have shook my head, and I have thought, what is going on? But I will tell you this, I have never, as a Christian, said, you know what, I think God messed up. I've never said that. God's always done right. I don't have to understand it to know that God did right. Just because I do not understand it doesn't mean that God didn't do it right. It just means that I don't have the understanding to understand what God did was right. And perhaps he'll give that to me one day. Maybe you've been there. I believe you have if you've been saved for any length of time. And so he said in verse number 11, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, we're going to look at three words around his coming. Okay, we're going to look at his visible coming, Jesus Christ. Now, please listen to me. There are people, and if you don't know this, you'll find it out soon. There are people that try to spiritualize just about everything there is about the Bible. And they'll even say, well, when Jesus comes back, we're not going to see it. We're not going to really know what's going on. It's all spiritual. No, Jesus went up bodily and physically, and he's coming back that way too. The Bible says so. It's not because I said so. It's because God said so. I'm not going to turn there. Read Acts 1:11. The same way Jesus ascended into heaven, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back to this earth, brethren. I'm telling you. The first time he comes back, he's coming in the air. It's real. Jesus is going to call us out of here. Now, you either believe that or you don't. And if you don't believe it, God have mercy on you. See, I believe that God spoke this world into existence. I mean, with the word of his power, God spoke everything there is into existence. That God is going to call me out of here one day. He is. If I'm living, when Jesus comes again, he's going to call me as a living human being. He's going to translate me and call me. If my body has gone back to the dust from whence it came, he's going to resurrect me. My body. He is. That's what the word of God says, and I believe it with all of my heart. I mean, listen, I don't have not even that much doubt about that. I just know that I know that that's going to take place. And so he said here, visibly. And then he's coming victoriously, and then he's coming vengefully. See, Jesus, God said, vengeance is mine. All right? Now, there are people that are scoffing God, and they're shaking their fists in God's face, and they're cursing God's name. But I'm here to tell you tonight, brethren, now listen to me. God is storing up his wrath against judgment. And judgment is coming. All right? And so there's three things I want you to take note as we read through this. He's coming bodily. He's coming visibly. I'm going to read the rest of this, and I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture, and that'll be what we have for tonight. So look, if you would, in verse number 12, the last part of that says, and no man knew but he himself, and we're going to say a word about that. What about that phrase, by the way? Did you know that God had a name? Jesus has a name that nobody knows but him. I know him as Jesus. I know him by quite a few names, actually, because the Bible tells me I have some names for Jesus. And I there have been times I've memorized many of those names, and perhaps you have too. They're wonderful names to know, Jesus. But there's a name. According to this verse of Scripture right here, look at verse number 12. There is a name, and he has this name written that no man knew but he himself. You see, there's just some things about God and about Jesus, brethren, that we don't know yet. And I don't know that we'll ever know everything there is to know. You see, this is where a lot of people mess up. God wants me to be like him, but I'll never be as him. Did you get that? See, that was what the devil told Eve in the garden. He said, you'll be as gods. That's the lie of the devil. As a matter of fact, that's why he's the devil. He wanted to be as God. Now, God wants us to be like him. But you'll never be as him. Amen. And so if you'll read in 2 Thessalonians about the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to make himself that he is as God. He's going to sit in the temple is this: he is as God. That's why he's going down. God doesn't share his glory with anyone. God transforms people to be like him, but God will never tolerate anyone trying to be as him. And we need to know the difference. It's really, really important. And so there's a name in verse number 12, it says, that is written that no man knew, but he knows. Jesus knows. I tell you, I was just reading some things about that statement in and of itself, and I'm not going to spend much time here, but it's amazing. It's amazing. The humanity, the deity of Jesus Christ. It's amazing when you think what God did when God became a man. And there's just some things about that that our minds cannot comprehend. And there's just some things that I believe is going to be opened up in eternity. And I just think we'll never know all there is to know about it, but I believe it's going to just really be something that's going to bless us, and it's going to help us to understand why God is God and I am not. Amen. Some people think they are, and that's a shame. Verse number 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And I think that's just a wonderful, wonderful name. Don't you? The Word of God. You know, in creation, he was the Word of God. Think about this. And I may just go through these. It's hard just to read these. You know, in creation, he was the Word of God. In revelation, he was the Word of God. God gave his word to man, and they spake it, and then it was written down. Some of them wrote it and spake it. So in creation, and God said, right? In creation. And then revelation, the Word of God. In redemption, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. That's who that is mounted up on this horse, brethren, leading this army. And so the Word of God is just important, isn't it? See, that's why the devil doesn't want me in it. That's why he doesn't want you in it. That's why the devil says, just read a chapter a day or a verse a day, or if even that. Now, you stay in the Word. That's where it's at, brother. That the longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize that's where it's at. Now, I thank God for prayer, or thank God for church, or thank God for communion, but I'm going to tell you something. The power of God, fellowship with God, is in his Word. You get in his Word. His Word will drive you to prayer. His Word will drive you to church. His Word will drive you to witness. It's his Word. It's his Word. That's where it's at. The reason that folks don't want to be in church is they're not in the Word. You get in the Word, you want to be in church. Amen. The reason that the prayer closets are emptying out is because we're not in the Word. You get in the Word, you get in the prayer closet. You know what I'm saying, so? The reason folks don't witness is you got to get the Word in before it'll come out. The Word, that's where it's at. And the devil will try to get us busy doing a bunch of activity, a bunch of just religious activities, but there's nothing like being in the Word. So I want to encourage you now. Stay in the Word of God in creation, the Word of God in revelation, the Word of God in redemption, and even the Word of God in retribution. You'll read down, I think it's in verse number 19. Let me see if that's where it's at. It's in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. See, retribution, the sword. What is the sword? It's the Word. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so the Word of God, that's God, just what God does, he does with the Word. Get in the Word of God. Don't let the devil take that Bible out of your hand. Don't let the devil busy you to stay out of the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. That's where our fervor comes from. That's where our passion comes from. That's where our knowledge comes from. That's where our zeal comes from. Stay in the Word, you see. It's the Word of God. And here the Bible says in verse number 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And I believe this is talking about redemption. Now, some people believe this is talking about the blood of the battle, but the battle hasn't taken place yet. I believe this is talking about the blood of Calvary, the blood of Jesus that was shed. In other words, there's blood for redemption if you want redemption. Don't let it be the blood of retribution now. Let it be the blood of victory, not vengeance, right? Yeah. And so he said in verse number 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now, who is that? Who's the armies which are in heaven? Is it the angels? Is it the host of heaven, the heavenly host? Well, let's see what the scripture says. The scripture says that the armies which were with him followed him, and they were on white horses. Look what it says. They were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I think we read that a little earlier about a group of people. It was the bride of Christ. It's you and I. He's bringing us with him. And we're coming back with him. He came for us, and now he's coming with us. Right? Yes. The scripture says in verse number 15, out of his mouth, and I read that, goeth a sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, brethren, people don't like to hear about God's vengeance, but God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God is a God of judgment and a God of wrath. People say, well, that's unfair. Well, I'll tell you, I don't look at it that way at all. I don't understand all about God, period, his love. I don't even understand all about God's love. How could God love me? How could God love sinful man? But he does. Insomuch that he gave his only begotten son to die in our stead. I don't understand all about God's love. I don't understand all about God's wrath. But I know that God is a God of both. And just as he's a God of love, he is a God of judgment and wrath. And here the scripture says that he's coming back. And when he comes back, there's some people that's going to, well, it's going to be payday. It really is. And the judgment of God is going to be exacted on these people and executed. It says in verse number 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now here's the part I was speaking of earlier that, you know, you just wonder, what is this? Are these people, are they that mindless? No, they're deceived. I would never want to give the devil credit. When you look around the world and you see the deception that's going on, even in our day, men cursing God, I mean cursing God, cursing his people, cursing his word, mocking him. And you have to remember that in this hour, the Holy Spirit of God will go up with the church. It's going to be a terrible time on this earth, and men will gather, and we've shown you in the scriptures, we've gone through the revelation, where men will blaspheme God and they'll shake their fist toward heaven and curse God and blaspheme him. And now they've come to do war with him. That's not a wise thing at all. It doesn't end well. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the beast was taken in verse number 20, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's the beast and the false prophet. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Well, I tell you, That is, it's really, it's overwhelming to read scripture like that. And yet, brethren, this is going to take place. It's going to happen. We're mounted up. I can't find anywhere in this where we have weapons. Jesus is going to take care of it. He's going to speak the word, and the great slaughter is going to take place. You say, preacher, do you really believe that Jesus is coming back? I want to give you a few scriptures in the next 5 minutes, and then we'll close. We'll take about 5 or 7 minutes. I want you to turn to some scriptures about Jesus coming back, okay? Now, you say, I do believe that Jesus is coming back. Well, let me give you some attitudes that you should take about his coming back. I believe everybody in here believes that Jesus is coming back. I don't know what's in your heart, okay? There's times that the Bible says Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. And then there's times that it says he's coming and every eye shall see him. So which is it? It's both. It's both. He's coming, as I said, in the rapture. He's coming for the church as a thief in the night. But then he's also coming, as we just read in the Revelation, when he's coming with his church. He's coming back. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, just for a moment. Turn, if you would, to Matthew. Would you turn to Matthew? Matthew chapter 24. And let's just look at some scripture as we discuss our attitude toward his coming. I don't think I have to convince you that he is coming. I would certainly hope not. Jesus is coming. Now, I want to make this very clear. I'm not looking for signs. Some people, I talk to folks and they're just saying, you know, that's just another sign of the times. And there are signs of the times everywhere. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm not looking for a sign. Okay? I don't want to get sidetracked. I'm looking for Jesus. Jesus could come while I'm speaking tonight. Okay? We may not leave this meeting. Jesus could come. We call that the imminent, not immediate. The imminent means he could come any moment. Any moment Jesus Christ could come. The Bible teaches this. In Matthew 24, Jesus said this. Look, if you would, in verse number 36. But of that day, all right? Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So if you hear somebody preaching, and they say, well, now Jesus is coming, and they start naming dates or time frames, get away from them. They're a false prophet. Okay? Doesn't matter how charismatic they are or how much Bible they can quote, they're lying to you based on that scripture alone, but there's others. Okay? And then he said this, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, I'm going to tell you about the times of his coming. All right, he said, the day and hour? Nope. But you can kind of get a feel by the times. You'll see some things. And he said, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And he said, this is what's going to take place. He said, in the days that were before the flood, verse 38, he said, days that before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, is there anything wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? There's nothing wrong with that. It just means they were just kind of going on with life. No regard to God whatsoever. They were marrying, giving in marriage, leaving God out, eating, drinking, just nothing to do with God. There's no worship. There's nothing to do with God here. They're just kind of going through the daily chores and the daily activities of life. That's where we are today. Most folks, listen, if we're not careful, we'll just not schedule God in our day, even among believers. And so God help me to be looking for Jesus to come back today. God help me to get up tomorrow looking for Jesus to come back. God help you to get up tomorrow believing Jesus could come back tomorrow. Because Jesus said, right before I come, people's not going to be living expecting me to come. Isn't that what he's saying, brethren? Is that what Jesus himself... Listen, the greatest prophecy preacher ever to live was not Baloo. Van Impe, Jeremiah, Jesus Christ is the greatest prophecy preacher. And Jesus said, listen to me, Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And he said, people's just going to be going through their days and just living as if there's another day, there's another week, there's another month. They're not going to give any thought to my coming. Look what he said next in verse number 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all the way. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, that's about as sad as it gets. And knew not until it was too late. That's basically the interpretation of that verse of Scripture. And knew not until the flood came and took them all the way. Too late. Notice if you would in verse number 42, and I'm going to hasten because of time's sake. Watch therefore. See, this is the attitude that we should have toward his coming. But Jesus is coming back, preacher, yes. So what should I do? Watch. Watch. Right? Jesus said, don't get caught up in this. Don't lose track of the fact I'm coming back. Don't get so entangled in this world's affairs and too busy with what you're doing in life that you forget, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Watch therefore in verse 42, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Live as though he could come in any hour, any minute. Look at verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He didn't say get ready. There's not going to be enough time to get ready. He said be ready. Look at it real close, please. This is, should be our attitude. And I'm being transparent with you. I struggle with it. I ask God, God, help me. I want to live every day. I want to live believing in my heart. I want to live like this could be the day that you come. I don't want to just say it. I want to live it. There's a difference between just saying something and living it. And I have said it and not lived it. And I don't want to do that. And I'm just asking you to search your heart. That's all. Are you living in the light of the soon return of Christ? Are you expecting him to come today? Did you live with the expectancy that this could be the day that Jesus comes? Or were you just eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? Just kind of going through the daily activities, the Wednesday daily schedule. It's easy to do. And I'm just saying, verse 44, be ye also ready. All right? All right, let's look at another. Look at chapter 25. Look at verse number 6. Chapter 25 of Matthew, verse number 6. It says, in the midnight hour, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. He's coming as a bridegroom. And only the bride will hear the call. Who's going to go out to meet the bridegroom? Everyone? No, just the bride. Right? So as the bride, we should be living, listen to me now, expecting him to come. Be ye therefore also ready. But if you're not saved, you need to understand something. When the call comes, it's not going to be for you. Because the bridegroom's going to call for the bride to come. You read this parable, it's very eye-opening. All right? I want to give you a couple of more scriptures. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm about through. Matthew 6. I'm going to mention these scriptures. Are you praying for the Lord to come back? These are attitudes we should have. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Did you say that today? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just trying to show you that the devil can get us so distracted that we'll say one thing and live another. Well, I believe Jesus could come today. Did you pray for him to come today? Did you say, even so come? One time today, did you say, even so come, Lord Jesus? Not because you were having a bad day. all right, or you got some bad news, but because you love his appearing. The Bible teaches we ought to love his appearing. We ought to look for his appearing, but we ought to love his appearing. Amen? Amen, church? I'm talking to the church of Jesus Christ here. Jesus is coming. And the devil's trying to lull us to sleep. Read the parable I just read you in chapter 25. They go to sleep. It's something. Look at chapter 6. When the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, I'm going to teach you to pray. Can I tell you that this is something that's very, very rarely mentioned about what we call the model prayer. He said, when you pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the very next thing? You pray for Jesus to come back. Thy kingdom come. He said, you be praying for me to come back. See, these are attitudes that we ought to have toward his coming. We ought to long for him to come. We ought to love. We ought to look. You ought to learn about some things. Study your Bible. Listen to preaching. You know, find out some things that surround his coming. Perhaps you didn't know you needed to be praying for Jesus to come back, but I want to teach you this tonight. You need to be praying that Jesus would come back. Lord, I'm praying for you to come back. Thy kingdom come. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. All right? I'm going to close there. There's a scripture over in 2, you can stand to your feet. There's a scripture over in 2 Thessalonians that talks about in flaming fire that Jesus is coming back to take vengeance, brethren. Vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very real. So when Jesus comes, he's going to come visibly. All right? He's going to come visibly in the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, he's not only going to come visibly, he's going to come victoriously. Victoriously. Triumphantly. And when he comes, he's going to come vengefully. Those that know not the gospel and obey not Jesus Christ, the Bible says it's not going to be good for them. It's just not. Now, with that said, I again want to bring your attention to our outreach. Is there